Hello, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to the Rock 98.5 coverage of the 2017 Good Friday service at the Ann Portnoy Theater. So thank you for taking time and joining us today. Let's take it over right now to the Ann Portnoy Theater.
Loving Jesus, today we pause to remember your sacrificial love that shone light into the darkness, that bore life from such emptiness, that revealed hope out of devastation, that spoke truth in the midst of incrimination, that released freedom in spite of imprisonment, and brought us forgiveness instead of punishment. Thank you that we can now walk in the light of your life, experiencing and offering hope, truth, freedom, and forgiveness this day and every day. And we ask all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the theme of being reconciled to Jesus, I want to read from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through his blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now are ye reconciled. God bless.
Welcome, everyone, to our special service. I would like to read a portion from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you are examples unto all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come.
I'd like to have the ushers get themselves ready. We're going to receive the offering. More than that, we're going to do something bigger than even this moment that is a gathering of people could even imagine. We're going to go beyond this room. We're going to go beyond Yorkton. And we're going to touch, through this offering, the larger part of southeastern Saskatchewan. How does that sound? Anybody want to participate? It's offering time. It's good. Can I tell you what this is going towards? There's three things that I want you to know that your giving is going to do, are going to go towards this morning. Number one, it's going to go towards hosting this moment. This moment itself, which is an amazing thing. Some of you have traveled from out of the city, and we have many, many, many churches participating this morning. This is a big moment, and it takes a little bit of some finances to make it happen. And so part of the offering will go to pay for this facility and such. Secondly, we're going to facilitate the sponsorship of the Family Minute on the Rock 98.5. This is a radio spot encouraging marriages and families throughout the reach of the listening area of the Rock 98.5. That sounds good. That sounds bigger than I can even this. I could shout all day long, but the Rock can take it further. Praise God. We want to get it out there. Thirdly, the offering is going to go towards Cody First Nation Outreach. This outreach, this ministry facilitated by Chief George Cody and Pastor Ricky Flamont, whom you'll hear from a little later. Together, they provide spiritual, physical wellness for First Nation members, helping them overcome addictions and bondages, bringing healing and restoration through the life-saving message of the gospel. Now I say to you, who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Hey? We're going to receive the offering this morning. Ushers, would you come forward? I'm going to pray, and then we'll receive this gift. Just as a note of, I guess we got to tell you a little bit of some particulars. Any checks need to be made out to Yorkton Ministerial Association. And just so you know, not that it matters, right? But just so you know, giving above $20 will be tax receipted. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that in this moment now, we can take the gospel further than this room. Thank you, Jesus, that we can impact lives that we cannot and will not ever see because of the reach of the Rock 98.5, because of the ministry of Cody First Nation Outreach, and because the body of Christ has gathered here in Yorkton. Lord Jesus, I pray you would bless this offering. Lord, bless it abundantly and merit bear great fruit in the southeastern corner of Saskatchewan, and let's go bigger around the world. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. 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 Let's receive the offering this morning.
We bring you our next reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 23. So, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. God bless you.
My name is George Cody, Chief of the Cody First Nation. I'd just like to acknowledge all the pastors, all the churches that are here today. Acknowledge my brother, Greg Ottenbright, my fellow chief, Rodney Brass, of the Key First Nation. See a lot of friends out there and family. But we're all one body, we're all one under the blood of Jesus. And what has been done on the cross is a result of why we celebrate every year. Let's go open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to just share your word, Father, and just glorify your name. I know there's so many people out there, Father, that are lost in addictions and whatever type, Father, and those that need a healing, Father, those that need a healing in sickness, whatever they're battling, Father. We ask you, Lord, just to bless our First Nation communities, our other communities as well that are connected to the First Nation people, Father. We are all nations in one Lord right across this world, Father. I just give you all the glory and the praise for today, Father, as we come to you, Lord, to be reconciled. In Jesus' name, amen. My message is reconciliation. And reconciliation means the restoration of friendly relations. In Luke 23, verses 39 to 43, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Does not now fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justify, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Amen. What just happened there? What just happened at the cross? Here Jesus hanging on a cross, and these two individuals on each side of him. One mocked him, but one realized that Jesus was hanging on that cross for no reason at all. And this one criminal acknowledged that. He acknowledged all the things that he's done in his life. And he knew all the work was done at the cross. So he gave his life to the Lord, saying, "Remember me. Remember me when you go into paradise." He reconciled with God because of all the things he's done in his life. He reconciled with God because of the things that separated him from God. I've been saved for 9 years now. And the things that I've done in my life practically just about destroyed me. There's so many kind of addictions that we go through. It's not only alcohol and drugs. It could be a number of other things. But reconciliation, the restoration of friendly relations. In James 5:4, it says, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." I was an enemy of God. I was in the world. The world was my friend. In James 5:23, it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." Now I'm so happy that I could be called a friend of God. So what is Christian reconciliation? Why do we need to be reconciled with God? God created us to have a close personal relationship with him and others. Two great examples of reconciled relationships is about Joseph and his brothers and about the prodigal son. Reconciliation took place in both of these amazing stories of forgiveness and reconciliation. I always think about the prodigal son. You know, I have children out there. I worry about them. And I often wonder how many times my mom and dad or my grandparents worried about me and my brothers and sisters as we are out in the world. All the prayers that they have been saying for me. And now it's my turn to be praying for my children and my grandchildren. All the things I've done in the world, all the money I spent on foolishness, not knowing that I was just digging a grave for myself. Coming to a point where suicide just about took my life. And I always hear about stories in our First Nation communities, in northern communities, where young children are losing their life on a daily basis, practically once a week. You know, we talk about truth and reconciliation with the First Nation governments and the federal government. We want to build a different relationship with government. But the only relationship we should be building first is with the Lord. And so the great problem of the human race is, how can we be reconciled to a holy God from whom we are separated from because of our sin and rebellion? Pride and selfishness account for everything from wars between nations to conflicts in our families. Rulers want great power and more territory because it feeds their pride. Husbands and wives argue because each one wants his or her way and is not willing to consider the other's point of view. Children rebel against their parents because they want their way. Selfish pride is the root of the most of the anger that divides family. The greater in social cultural differences between people, the more likely that conflict will increase. Because men and women are different, we are prone to conflict in our marriage. Teenagers think their parents don't understand the younger generation. People from one nationality have difficulty understanding those from other nationalities. The rich think that the poor are lazy, and the poor think the rich are greedy. So it goes. At the heart of all these conflicts is sin. But the world refuses to acknowledge this. And how can we be reconciled to one another? We need peace between nations in this war-torn world. We need peace in our communities. We need peace in our churches, which are supposed to be models of Christ's love, but often marked by division and strife. And we need peace in our immediate and extended families. But how? The logical way to deal with this would be to start with reconciliation with God and then go on to reconciliation on a human level. Being at peace with God is the foundation for peace with others. Through the cross, Christ reconciled us all to one another and to God. Let's say two friends, could be anybody. Could be a wife, husband, child, parent, grandparent, even your brother or sister in the Lord, even our pastors in our church. The good relationship they once enjoyed came to a point of breaking. They ceased to speak to each other. Communication seemed too awkward. The friends gradually become strangers. The relationship can only be reversed by reconciliation. To be reconciled is to be restored to a friendship of harmony. When old friends or young resolve their differences and restore their relationship, reconciliation has occurred. You ever wonder, you ever notice if you have a conflict with somebody in a church or maybe a good friend or with your boss, whatever, you don't ever want to talk to them again. You don't even want to be in the same room with them. And that's our pride. We carry that sin because we don't have the ability to forgive and to be reconciled with that friend. I'm also thankful to see some of my old friends because I remember of all the good times that we had. I may have lost some friendships because of my stand for Christ. But one day I'll be reconciled with that individual when I continue to pray for him. And he'll get what I had. And that's what Jesus did for me on the cross. And in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19, it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The Bible says that Christ reconciled us to God. Romans 5:10. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? The fact that we need reconciliation means that our relationship with God was broken. Since God is holy, we are the ones to blame because we come defensive because of our pride. Our sin alienated us from him. When Christ died on that cross, he satisfied God's judgment and made it possible for God's enemies, us, to find peace with him. Our reconciliation to God then involves the grace and forgiveness of our sin. The result of Jesus' sacrifice is that our relationship has changed from enmity, which means a state of feeling or being actively opposed or hostile to someone, to friendship. John 15:15, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. Christian reconciliation is a glorious truth. We were God's enemies, but now we are his friends. We are in a state of condemnation because of our sins, but we are now forgiven. We are at war with God, but now we have the peace that transcends all understandings. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The idea of reconciliation acknowledges the fact that there is a separation between two or more parties, and God has declared that our sins have separated us from him. Behold, a hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It's Isaiah 59:1-2. Neither is ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You ever wonder why sometimes our prayers are never heard? Because of our sin. Because of the things we do. We're disobedient. We separated ourselves from the Lord. We became enemies with him again. I know a couple of friends of mine that created a wedge between them, and no matter how much I tried to reconcile them together, both have refused to humble themselves, so that reconciliation between the two seems impossible. And for the person or persons who have never repented and trusted in Christ, they are presently separated from God, but there's a way to be reconciled to God. Even those who have repented may have been reconciled with God, but are you reconciled with those that you have been separated from? You know, I remember I was so mad at my dad all the time. You know, I kind of grew away from him because of what alcohol did to our house and how he drank up all the money that was supposed to be for our needs, and sometimes we wouldn't have it. But thank God we had great grandparents. But my dad used to fight my mom, and I just got me mad. I didn't want nothing to do with my dad. Even though he was my dad, we never said I love you to one another. But in the last couple of years, he got sick. Diabetes took the best of him. And I got saved. And my dad was a very traditional man. And I thought he was going to be mad at me for giving my heart to Jesus. But instead, he blessed me. He said, "Son, you picked a good life. Share it with others." And after that, my dad gave his life to Jesus. And we used to drive him to Regina for his dialysis, and it was my turn, so I took him. And as we were driving up to Regina, I told him, "You know, Dad, I forgive you for all the things that you've done to us. I'm so glad that you gave your life to the Lord and you blessed me for my life. And I told him, Dad, I love you. And tears start coming down his eyes, and I noticed that. And he looked at me and said, I love you too, son. And that's the first time we ever said I love you to each other. And ever since that time, I kept it a regular thing to love him and to love my mom and love my brothers and sisters. And only God did that for me because of my reconciliation with God and reconciliation with my dad. The forgiveness came through his love. And I never realized how much I've lost because of my separation from God with my mom and with my dad and with my brothers and sisters. I lost my relationship because of my separation from God. But I asked for a gift of forgiveness from my ex. And we reconciled, and now she's just a friend of mine. But we both went our own ways. But God put it on my heart to reconcile for forgiveness unto her. And only the Lord can do that. And that was reconciliation through Christ, which is 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was with Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It is only through Jesus Christ we can be reconciled back to God, who through his own death, his own life, death, and resurrection. God will not count our transgressions, our sins against us. The underlying message of the gospel is the message of reconciliation, where through Christ, God has reconciled us back to himself. And that's reconciliation through Christ's blood. In Colossians 1:19-22, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross by him, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. You know, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals to cover sin, but it could never take it away. It took the blood of a perfect, holy, sinless sacrifice to atone for our sins. Jesus' blood didn't just cover our sins. It took them away so that we, who were alienated from God, lived in hostility towards God. He has now reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death. And this was done in order to present us as holy and blameless and above reproach before God. As I mentioned earlier in Romans 5:10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Before you are saved, you were an enemy of God and a wicked sinner. Romans 5:8 says, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And even though we still sin, we who have trusted Christ will sin less by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what I'd do without the Holy Spirit. I don't know what I'd do without that gift that God gave me upon repentance. He promises a comforter. And we need the comforter every day, every second of our life for the things that we go through. The reconciliation just builds up as we trust the Holy Spirit. We come closer to the Lord. We grew nigh unto the Lord as he grows nigh unto us. And we can grow nigh unto those that we have alienated. We can grow nigh unto them because the Holy Spirit draws us to them. And that's the power of God. We've got to be reconciled to one another. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I've talked about my two friends who refused to be reconciled to one another, and they did not follow what Jesus taught us in Matthew 18. He shows us that if someone sins against us, we should go and tell him his fault in hopes that they can be reconciled. But do this in a humble manner and in private. And if not, then take one or two others with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Matthew 18:16. This process is not to prove who is necessarily who is wrong, but the goal is to have the relationship restored so that both can be reconciled to one another. Man, it's difficult then to be wrong. You never want to be wrong, you know, but that causes a lot of division. You know, you always fight to be right. But if you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, you will be right, because it's God guiding you and teaching you. The world doesn't like that. The world will teach you differently. Through redemption and reconciliation. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Redemption only comes through Christ, and his perfect sinless life was the only sacrifice that was able to satisfy the wrath of God. It is through Jesus' blood that the forgiveness of our trespasses could come, and it was infinitely costly, which shows the riches according to his grace. By the grace of God, we are saved. Christ himself is our peace, who had made us both one and has broken down in his flesh, dividing the wall of hostility that separated us from God. Ephesians 2:14. This is what the curtain in the temple symbolized. A separation between sinful men and a holy God. But Jesus' flesh broke down that wall of hostility between God and us. And this is what reconciliation is. It can only come from through Jesus' death on the cross, that costly death. Put away God's hostility towards us so that we may be reconciled to God. You know, if you never repented and trusted in Christ, listen to what Jesus says about your present condition. John 3:36, it says, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Without your repentance and trusting in Christ, his shed blood cannot reconcile you to God, and then you only have this to look forward to. Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Reconciliation. We are the family of God and need to be reconciled with him and one another. In Revelations 21:24, by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring glory into it. So God, in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. You know, the color of the rainbow is so beautiful to look at. How much more beautiful are we when all nationalities stand together? Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another. Bear one another's burdens. How else can we become strong? We don't support one another. Reconcile with one another. Reconcile with God. John 15:12-14 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, that somebody lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus was our friend. He laid down his life for us. How much more can we lay down our life for our friends, which are going through battles as we do? We have friends laying down their life for us. Romans 12, 30, 31. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. Two great commandments that we are to live by is God's word. Romans 13 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Ephesians 2, 14, 16. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us to both God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Jesus said, I and my Father are one, and we become one. We are one as we sit here. Therefore, we must acknowledge our sin to be restored in repentance, to become a friend of God as he always wanted, to be released from the bondages of separation from God through the blood of Jesus. It was all done at the cross. It was finished. When Jesus was standing out there when he was on that cross with his hands stretched right out, he was calling, come, come my son, come my daughter, come to me, come and be reconciled. I'll remove the sins from your body. I'll heal your body. I'll give you deliverance from the bondages that you're going through in this world. I'll bring peace to your heart. I'll bring peace into your marriage. I'll bring peace to your kids. I'll bring peace to your pastors. I'll bring peace to your church. I'll bring peace to your communities. I'll bring peace to all nations. I'll bring peace to the world. And when he has his arms outstretched, the things behind him are the past. We now have a new life with him. And when we run to him, he'll embrace us. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what we need. We need that reconciliation with the Lord. We need that today. For those of you who have not known the Lord, for those of you that need to be reconciled or restored, this is the day of salvation. This is the day why we have gathered to glorify the Lord, to glorify God, so that we can become friends again with him. If you want to give your life to the Lord, just say this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what was done at the cross. I repent of my sins. Let your blood be washed over my body, Lord, my soul, my mind, my heart. I accept you as my Savior in my life to guide me, Father, to reconcile me, Lord, back to you, to be separated from the world. And I just give you all the glory and the praise, Father. If you said that prayer today, you're walking into a new direction, into the light, away from the darkness. Get established in the church. Speak to the pastor. Speak to the elders. Speak to the congregation. This is what it's all about. It's about being reconciled to God. And I'm sure thankful that And the Lord had his hand over me to put me in a place where I should be. And that's in his kingdom and his family. I continue to pray for my family. I continue to pray for my nation. I continue to pray for other nations. Because how can we get along and how can we help one another if we don't reconcile with one another through the blood of the Lamb? How can we as leaders establish the governance to bring restoration and healing into our communities unless we submit to God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want my first nation to have everlasting life. I want all nations to have everlasting life. Man, I feel so good because only God makes me feel good. So remember what Jesus did on the cross. Remember what he can do for you. There's nothing impossible for him. This is a day of redemption, a day of salvation. It's good to see children here as well. We love our children, our grandchildren. The way the world is going now, we need God more than ever, each and every moment. So with that, God bless each and every one of you.
In our church, we have a tradition in our church, and I'm going to extend that to you right now. What I'd like you to do across this place is I'd like you to touch the person next to you. Put your hand on your shoulder, or touch their hand, however, just everyone having someone that you're touching next to each other, okay? Today we are a family. Today we are God's kids assembled. All kinds of traditions, all kinds of backgrounds. We're going to pray one for another that there would be reconciliation for everyone here between us and God first. And then we're going to pray for each other that God would reconcile our relationships between each other. That was a good word this morning. It's an important word for us. We are so divided. We are so upset. But in the kingdom, unity is an important part, a critical aspect of who we are as people of faith. So, Lord, we come together and we first of all ask that you, Lord, would bless everyone here with the knowledge of the beauty of the Christ of Calvary. And everyone would hear, Father, that there'd be no one unreconciled with you. That everyone here would come, bow their knee before you in life as Chief George prayed for us. Lord, we also pray that there would be reconciliation in this house between the people that are here, those that are not, those who are listening now on the radio, wherever it be, Lord, we pray for each other that reconciliation would come between them and their kids, between them and their adults, them and their neighbors, them and the nations and the cultures, between families of God. Lord, we have a picture right now of the body of Christ who comes to you as our Father. And we say to you, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Let's continue on. Lord, let your kingdom come. Will you pray with me? Let your will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, Lord, daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you.
Praise you, God.
We thank you so much for the fact that we get to come as brothers and sisters, as part of a family that is so amazing, so great, so diversified, Father, that we have been reconciled with you, Father, through your Son, Jesus. Lord, words cannot express that. Our thoughts can't even get around the grasp and the fullness of what that means. All we know is that we have been redeemed. All we know is that we have been restored back to what we were created to be. And that is in communion with you and in fellowship and in relationship with you. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us, that you sent your Son Jesus to die upon the cross, that horrible, agonizing death, so that we can be reconciled with you. And Father, as we depart from here on this day that we remember the agony of the death. Father, we look forward to Sunday coming up, to Easter Sunday, with the resurrection of our Savior, the fact that we now live for you forever. And Father, in these days between now and then, we will remember. We will remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We will remember your love for us. And Father, help us to extend that love to each and every one. So guide us, Father, as we depart from here. May our thoughts, our actions, and our attitude reflect that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus now lives in us through his Spirit. Bless us and guide us. We pray this all in the amazing, wonderful, appreciated name of Jesus. Amen. See you Sunday, folks.
And we thank you for coming this morning and being a part of it. Thank you for everyone who participated. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name.